that mercy reign. No end in love. And that's how the amazing grace all about. And interesting is that last night here, it was pretty crowded here. And Elder Jerry and I, we were tending the little sheep while somebody's playing the golf, which I was so envy can join them. But I cannot. We have a duty to do. We have to excuse some teacher. but we are a big family. But that was not my focus. My focus is that in the end, when we were teaching the fourth grader, so everybody is having a good time, right? Then all of a sudden, I get into the teaching mode. So I wrote the two words. One is mercy. The other is grace. So I say, okay, now tell me what these two words meant. And then everybody just throwing their opinion, right? And in the end, they say, hey, no different. Mercy is grace. I say, really? How could that be? I mean, they are two words, right? How can they be the same word? Same meaning. Maybe they are similar, but they are not exactly the same. So nobody, right, get to what I'm saying. And in the end, I say, okay, Uncle Nick is very mean to you. All right. So I deserve a punishment, but you are not punishing me. So I got the mercy from you. But you are not only be merciful, you are so kind to me, which I don't deserve. So I received the grace from you. Said all of a sudden, oh, now I know. So Uncle Nick, you are the bad teacher. So that's a grace I received. But that is true, right? Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. And today we're going to go into a particular topic. It's very related. And to some extent, right, it could be distant as well. So today we're going to talk about stewardship. Stewardship. And it's kind of a connection with the last sermon. It's talk about loss and found. So last week we end up with that loss. Sometimes we are really lost and we don't know about it. And it could be lost in any situation, could be in the profession you are looking for, or could be in the sentimental mode. They were doing the reflection. And some I put in there, right, look like it's very pessimistic. But sometimes loss could be also when you are very successful. And it's very difficult, right, to differentiate you are lost or not. And that's why we brought in there, right? Through the particular passage we went over is Luke chapter 15. It's talking about a tax collector, sinner, Pharisee, and scribe. Then Jesus brought up a couple examples to explain the same. The sheep got lost, the coin got lost, and the squanderer, the younger son, wasting all the fortune, and the righteous son, the older son, is really complaining about a feast. And all this, right, combined together, while trying to make a point at the time, saying that sometimes lost people don't want to be helped. One could be they don't know they are lost. The other could be because the self. And there are so many dimensions can support the self. But sometimes they come in from a different angle is not the self alone. It could be the helper come along, try to bring you out. And sometimes we disqualify them. So it's a little bit complicated than that. It's not just a verse can help us to coming out. So he say, that's okay, that's okay. And that's why Amazing Grace. And we talk about the song, the love of God, the reckless love. And there's a particular, the phrases say, fighting till I'm found. And leave all the 99 sheep and looking for the lost one. That's God will do. He will come after you or come after me. And he will keep coming until he makes sure you are really found and not in loss again. So we conclude there, right? And we have so many angles. We say receiving Jesus is essential. And sometimes when you're doing that, right, there will be a little bit rejection coming from the environment. But you still have to rebind to Jesus in order to make it work. And in the end, right, then we can rejoice together. So that's where we are. So we end up, that's why we are here. Because that was a calling. Everybody's supposed to be found and don't be lost. And then from there, we can get the starting point to do. Helping God to find the lost one. And then we can rejoice together. Earthly, divinely. So, they say that's the purpose of the life, of the lost one to be found. And if we keep going there, right? So today we're going to shift that. Assume you are found. So what's the next step? So today the question, right, is very simple. Whom am I serving? Well, originally I want to say, whom you are serving. But in the end, right, I change it because I think that God is trying to tell me something. And in all, for me to listen it clear, then I can deliver what I got from him. So I make a couple questions for me. Whom am I serving? Is mine or you or third party there? The object, or there's a goal. Am I serving for trade? I want to trade something. So I'm serving this, I got something back. That's a gain, right? Or I'm just very simple. I just try to help. I try to honor. So there's a couple questions, right, about the serving. So whom are we serving right now? So that will be today's aim. So every aim, right, have to have an angle, the anchor as well. So today, the message is very simple. God said, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Interesting, right? Two masters. What do you mean? Very simple. In the life, sometimes it's real like that. Look at this particular picture. Who do you think she should listen to? There's a two conductor, right? You should listen to the left or you should listen to the right. And they are both demanding. And that's exactly. But before we get into the detail, I want to get to that. Serve here is not like waiter, serve the customer. Yeah, that's a one type like that. But here is more like the serving is a type of belonging and obediently obey. So this kind of like serving, right? It's not that we go, hey, server, come, I need to be served. No, not like that. It's here is a little bit different. So we need to expand on the word first, right, before we get to the point. Why? Why can you? Why can you serve two masters? Because they always have a contrast. When you put the energy upon one, the other one won't be served. So that's exactly what Jesus said. Well, it's a comparison. Don't get into the too strong on the word. But basically, it's kind of like love and hate. Devoted and despised as a contrast. So that's very interesting, right? Two master, you try to serve with all your heart, but you can focus on only one. And then God concluded with, you cannot serve both God and Mammon. So what is Mammon? Translation, right? Highlight this word in a different way. If you go into a different version of the Bible, most of them say money. But it's not only money. Money is so important in our day of life. Everything needs to be paid. But as a matter of fact, the word itself, right, is more than money. It's a possession. Is that riches? So if we're going back, right, say you cannot serve both God and whatsoever. So if we combine whatever we've been heard so far, it's not everyone, it's no servant. So you are the servant. You cannot serve two masters. And it's impossible, according to Jesus said, it's impossible to serving God wholeheartedly and in the same time you are being a slave to go for something. So in God's view, right, it's either God or something else. How could it be? How could it be? But that's exactly God saying. Is there something weird here? It's so absolute. There's no way you can be wrong. Right? But how could it be possible? Because in life it's so complicated, right? I need to serve the church. I need to serve Awana. And I need to serve children ministry. I need to serve the youth, and I have my own family. I need to serve my kids. No matter how old they are, I need to serve them. So how can I do? So that's our daily struggle. And that's why we need to understand it more. Understand what is the true meaning behind this. It's very important. Because otherwise, when we fall into that struggle, right, we don't know how to deal with it. And that is the power of the God's word. But sometimes, the struggle is so hard. In the end, right, we just cannot hold it together. So very easy, we say, I don't need any master. I don't need it. Why don't we turn the world around? Why don't we let other people to serve us and keep serving us? Why do I have to serve? I don't need any master. But that's most of the people doing that, especially when you're serving the kids. The kids' demand is never end. They keep raising the bar. And sometimes, right, it's the same feeling if you ask a kid. When they're growing up, right, they are serving the master and they treat their parent as the master because that target upon them, right, keeps shifting. So in the end, people fall into this, right? I don't want to listen to who the servant, who the master. Just leave me alone. And then, in the end, you are lost. So, we're going to go into a particular verses. Bear with me. Maybe I choose the wrong one. But try to, beyond me, beyond what I'm saying, go to the verse which Jesus said. This is located in Luke chapter 11. And he say, when an impure spirit come out of a person, it goes through the airy places and seeking rest, and does not find it, then it says, I will return. Where? To the house I left. Then it keep going, Jesus say, and when it arrived, meaning go back to the original place, it find a house really nice, swept, clean, and everything, right, in order. So it's really like it. And but he not only like it, he did something more. It go out and take 7 other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the commentary there is the final condition of that person is worse than the first. So we're going to use the passage here, right, to go explore the idea why Jesus said you cannot serve 2 masters. So there's a 4 particular stages here. It's very simple. Leaving, looking, battling, and deteriorating. So let's start with leaving. Here, very interesting, right? If you go into the original text, even in the English, right, it's active. It's not passive. So that, if you look at it, right, when an impure spirit comes out, it's active. So meaning, right, this particular impure, the word is kind of like unclean. But it's not a good one, that's for sure. He come out of a person. And why Jesus saying that? That's because in originally, he just cast out a demon. A demon, and compare with an impure spirit, you can also say they are similar. But it's more worse. And the argument coming in, right? Sometimes people charging the Jesus say, you are using the demon power to cast out demon. So it becomes a blasphemy. And Jesus say this parable to answer the critic. So he say, all right, fine. It doesn't matter. Let's go redefine. Anyway, there's an unspirit. Impure spirit, they go out. So on his own turn, fine. Just trail of it. Then he is looking. He's not resting. He'll keep looking. This impure spirit keep looking a place, seeking. Very active. Keep on going, arrest. And right now, when we are serving, we are not resting. And Jesus said, look, even the impure spirit is keep on looking. Looking a place, right? He can find rest. Which is horrible. And it go everywhere. And if you echo back, right, to the first Peter, he also saying that, as a matter of fact, right, whether we agree or not, there is an enemy. And it's like the devil, right? The devil is really prowling around and looking a prey to devour. You will be swallowed, whether you know or you don't know. There's an enemy, very strong one, and they keep looking for a place to rest. And he will return. Don't get it wrong. He will return. And he will look. Maybe you set yourself right. You're so self-controlled. You don't need other people's help. You go. And he really make you clean. And he make you so clean everything, right? It's in order. These two words are good words in originally. Very good word. We don't have time to go through where this word been used in other passage, but they are really good word there. So basically, you are in good shape. Then there's a battling coming back. In order to break down your good shape, the enemy need to be reinforced, and there are so many along with the bad influence. So according to this parable, right, the enemy go to find seven other even worse than it. And so altogether, right, it's 8 against 1. And the result is very obvious. The person lost. And the final point is that the final condition of that person is worse than the first. And that could be the near, or could be the long term, or could be internal. So why we use this passage? Because who are you serving? When you are serving, are you focused on the object alone? The person you are serving, regarding is belong to you, or belong to someone, or belong to strangers, that could be different. And for whatever reason, you have to be careful. But you bring it back, right? This is a key. Master, why are you serving? It's more important than who are you serving and how are you serving. That's very important. And if you get it wrong, in the end, right, it will be a disaster to some extent. And especially, right, you say you don't need a master, just like that person. He don't have a master, but he's really very careful, right, to handle all the matter by himself. But in the end is that you don't have the master inside you. So whoever, whatever idea, right, they will come in and out. So in the end, right, it's not that you don't have the master. You have so multiple masters. And one is bigger and stronger than the other. So that's exactly two master made. It's not two that come. No. It's one that come. And inside the life, right? Life have a purpose of serving and enjoying at the same time. Sometimes serving itself already is a blessing. Sometimes serving itself is already a blessing. This is a really honest saying. Look at the Jesus, right? Particularly in this particular chapter, chapter 11, it starts with so many things, right? Keep talking about Jesus. Jesus come in to help. Cast out the demon, clean out your house, and bring in the kingdom to us. Let us be inside his kingdom. And even provide the power to strengthen us. And keep going, right? Asking us, right, how he can help to resist all this temptation, all this bad evil keep trying to come in. But in the end, he's calling. Calling to you to make a decision. You should select your master. You should cling to it. And that's very strong. As long as you cling this allegiance, then lots of things, right, will turn into minimal influence upon you. Then you will be strong. And that's the purpose, right? God is looking for us. You have to enthrone the Jesus inside you. You have to listen and obey. Careful. So, we all go into this, right? What on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? Am I too young? Am I just right? Am I too old? But God has a purpose. It doesn't matter how young, how old, how educated, how successful, how unsuccessful you are. That's in the view of the world. In God's view, right? If you really sing the song, the worship team were leading us, right? You will know. It keeps saying God treasures us so much. There's a mercy, there's a grace, but key is the love. The love. And the love is the master. Try to come in him. So why am I here? Why am I here? So I say not only not want to be lost. No, I don't want to be lost, that's for sure. Not only I just try to sweep clean myself. I don't want to impure or uncleanness. Doesn't matter. Not just because I want God to garnish me, decorate me, and put me in order in a good presentation. Not only that. The Moses sin, right? There's a calling. There's a calling, right? Who is my master? Right. There's a calling, say, I should really pay attention to listen and try to obey. And that's the power. That's the power. And there's a lot of option, right? That I can select a passage and even a different topic for today's sermon. But somehow, right, God narrowed it right to this. He's talking about, keep asking me, why am I here? Not you. Why me? Why am I here? Because God wants me to make a decision. Who am I serving? And then all of a sudden, right, the passage coming out. Originally, I was prepared to talk about this, you know, the servant that really dishonest, or talking about the rich people who really enjoy his life when he was alive, and in the end, he was tortured in the fire. But I don't want to go there because God said, before you go in there, right, you have to make sure who you serve, why you serve. And lady lately, it's not easy for the church. Because God is blessing the church. Keep bringing a lot of people into it. And in the same time, right, we are short of hand to serve. So all the people are serving here is really scratching their head, right, and try to make the demand met. And in the end, definitely, we are just human beings. We have some friction, and we have some disagreement, because we are all the sinner saved by grace. We all need the mercy. But in the end, right, somehow, the confrontation became, expanding, because people are so busy, and sometimes we don't have time to sit down and talk about it. And when we talk about it, there are so many things we need to sort it out. What is our personal? What is belong you? What is really the demand from God? It's not that easy. Especially, every person has his own obligation. Same for you, right? You serve your family. You serve your job. And you go to school and try to score an A. And you're looking for the future. You try to get into the right college. After you graduate, right, you try to get a good job and the good money. Nothing is wrong when you put in your heart to pursue it. But the end you are coming back is that, why? Why are you doing this? It's very important. What's the motive behind it? And especially when you feel not up to it. It's not easy. Life sometimes is very frustrating. Life sometimes is really look like it's going to doom right away. Same thing for the Jesus Christ when he got nailed on the cross. All his disciples, right, scattered. But now, if you're coming back, right, if you put everything together, if you really listen to today's sermon, if you really put the Jesus inside your heart, say, God, I'm serving you. You are my master. Then I truly believe, and God will make me believe that just trust and obey and keep serving whoever he brought to me, need me to serve. That's very important. Otherwise, if you rip off the Jesus, then the passage there's an impure spirit going to come in out your heart so easily. And even if you have a difficulty to knock it in, he will team up to come in. Then you are lost again. And Jesus makes it very clear. Your final condition will be worse than the first. So don't let it happen. Hopefully, right, we will know who are we serving. Hopefully, we will stick to it, cling to it. Hopefully, through that particular master, you will have the power to go in now. To have the more energy and the more love to endure and persevere. That's how we stand. That's how we serve. And that's how the Jesus can be manifest through us, through our humble service. It's not we to judge. No. We are all under mercy. We all require the grace. And God already spending all the effort, right, going everywhere to find us. Don't be lost. Focus. give God a change. Honor Him. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we do know you love us, but sometimes when we are in trouble or we are really successful, we don't really honor their love or appreciate them much. Especially when we are lost, we don't even know who you are, even don't know who is our Savior. We are pleading you to open our heart. Really let us think about all the situation, all the environment, all the difficulty we are doing right now. Let us really put down everything and come back to you and asking you. God, are we serving you? Are we truly serving you? Are you really our master? Or we just got tangled with the person you asked us to serve? God, hang upon the job you want us to perform. God, lock up with the critics you send the people to say to us. Do we have this power, the energy, and the wisdom to go beyond this and looking at you on the cross? Please be with us. Please let us know who is the master. Please let us who we should serve. Let us strip out all the noise, strip out all these unpleasant things. Let us just come to you, very simple, like a simple child, come to you. We do know you. We do need you. We do want to serve you. May your name really can be proclaimed through us. May you really deserve all the honor you deserve it. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you.